think I know who'll be able to help you, Lassie. Come on, Spirit.
Where are they going?
To get help.
Looks like this relaxing evening is going to get exciting.
For the honor of Dreyfus!
With you on our side, we'll have a much better chance of being able to free our people.
It's my pleasure, Lassie. When I heard about your trouble, I came as fast as I could.
Hello, this is Optimus Solo, and welcome to the 70th chapter in our Powers of Grayskull series. With me for this journey into the Masters of the Universe franchise, as he has been for the other 69 chapters, is TFG and Mike. Hello.
I'm allergic to this podcast now.
Sounds like it. Sounds like you're allergic to something. I don't know if perfume got in there or what happened. That was an episode or two ago, so I don't know.
No, it's more like asshole, dark-headed kids named Kevin.
Ah, that too. In this episode of Mists of Etheria, we'll be giving you our thoughts on episode 69, A Lesson in Love. Episode 70, that's right, episode 70 is happening in episode 70. Something old, something new, and
something borrowed, something blue.
And episode 71... Looky as sweetie, so we hope you're ready, because it's time to go back to Etheria.
Of the realm, Kevin. Soon I will retire, and you will become leader of our people. You must be ready.
I don't want to be king, Father.
You will be a good king. You will help our people. I must go. We'll talk tonight, son.
What'll I do? I don't want to be a king. I want to play. Maybe I should run away. That's not a bad idea.
Taking Madame Raz so long. We'll never get to the carnival at this rate.
If she doesn't hurry up, I'll be late. I promised I'd fill in at the dunking booth.
Does that mean you're all wet?
Oh, tell me, Mira, long and tall, who's the beauty of them all?
Not you, dearie. Want to try for ugliest?
You impudent thing.
Don't, Madame Raz! I just saved you 7 years of bad luck. Now hurry, we gotta go.
Oh, all right. Now just you wait, I'll fix you.
But, madam, your beauty is on the inside.
Oh. Oh, really? Oh, well, thank you.
Hello, everyone. Everyone looks so nice.
Oh, we're on our way to the Twigget Carnival.
Why don't you come with us?
I have to go home first. You go ahead. I'll meet you there. Where is it?
Just outside the Whispering Woods.
Outside? But what about Hordak?
Oh, don't worry. It's in a large clearing. There's no way he could sneak up on us.
So the rebels are having a spring carnival. How nice. We could capture all of them at once.
Now, if we only had someone inside the carnival, a spy, or...
A spy to disable their defenses. Excellent idea. I'm glad I thought of it. Mantena, get one of the spy bots.
Yes, sir.
First up today is episode 69, A Lesson in Love. Air date somewhere around Saturday, October 4th, 1986. Written by Phil Harnage. The rebels are all at the Twigget Carnival, just outside of the Whispering Woods. Hordak needs a spy, so Shadow Weaver puts a spell on young Prince Kevin.
Kevin.
Who has run away from home. We have Shadow Weaver, Hordak, Mantenna, Leech. We have She-Ra, Madam Raz, Bo, Flutterina, Looky, I guess, Kowl, Swiftwind, and Broom. And then, of course, we have a king, a prince, and a magic mirror.
Don't forget the wet bandits.
What did you think about this, once again, young prince slash cousin slash foster child slash whatever the hell you want to call it, child episode?
It's utterly forgettable.
That is one word for that. You know, I saw that there was going to be a Prince Kevin in this episode, and my first instinct was, this is going to be terrible.
Because everything with Kevin's in it is terrible.
No, like, but it just serves up the fact that this would be, like, when you see a prince or any type of child character, you're like, oh god, that's going to happen. Like, I was not looking forward to watching this episode. I was just hoping that I was going to be wrong and that Prince Kevin was going to be a cool character, but alas, we had no luck with that.
Yeah. I wrote this in my Fright Zone moments, but I'm going to say it here. Seriously? Are you fucking seriously? This is the plot? As I'm watching this episode, my brain is just careening down off a cliff because I'm finally realizing, oh my god, this is what this episode is going to be. And essentially what it is, folks, is they took Shadow Weaver, they took Prince Kevin, and they made them essentially repeat Adora's origin story, essentially, where she's controlling somebody.
Yeah.
You know,
well, it's almost like a plus other stories that we've seen before where there's, you know, we've already had the magicians that are making a pact with Shadow Weaver or being controlled by Shadow Weaver or, you know, whatever, somehow come under the influence and are trying to be used to spy or to get something. Or like, we've seen this at least 5 times, I swear to God. So, this plot's terrible. And
it is.
Unfortunately, the execution's not much better. So we're going to take a quick break, and I think we're going to head almost right to the Fright Zone for this one.
Send this young whelp into my dungeon. That'll teach you to respect my property.
Wait, Hordak. We need a spy. Why not him? I'll use my spells to...
To put him under our control! Another good idea. Oh, I'm glad I thought of it.
Spy? No! I'm not going to spy for you!
You shall wake in our command and help us win the rebel land. I command thee, awake.
Huh? Where am I?
Come with me, spy.
So I find myself, folks, all alone here in the Whispering Woods because Kevin has jumped on his sky sled and ran on ahead to the Fright Zone, but I was really hoping somebody other than the Horde would have dunked Bo. Like, you know, the recurring gag of consistently some jerk being dunked from the dunk tank. Sadly, that didn't happen. I thought there were some good jokes. Probably mostly Mantenna and his pratfalls, or you know, the point where he actually apparently he's hanging on to the trap door in one of them because he opens the trap door when Hordak calls him. So I thought that was kind of fun. And yay, Flutterina! That's pretty much it. Fright Zone time.
Hey, Mike, nice of you to catch up with me. unfortunately, I had to bypass the Whispering Woods today. Didn't need to stop there for any reason. Let me just go on a little rampage.
Before you get on your your Swiftwind, horse here. Let me just sit here and say, oh, great, another annoying kid episode. Standard, even though sadly his name is unfortunately Kevin.
Yeah.
That's the only other thing I wrote down because I already mentioned my other one. Are you serious? This is the plot. So take it away.
All right. Okay. You already said some that I didn't write down because it's just obvious now when there's a kid episode. I don't think I should have to write it down anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that you brought that up. But, okay, let's just back up a second, though. Even if it is a kid's plot, kid-centric episode, whatever you want to call it, it's like villain of the week, but it's kid of the week instead. Even if it is that, that doesn't even begin to describe the terrible parts of this episode. Okay? Number one, yeah, because there would be a carnival during the middle of a rebellion. I'm sorry. If you are a minority force here, a smaller numbered force that's trying to stay hidden in the Whispering Woods, and you're a small band of brothers type of thing, you're not going to stop in the middle of a war and have a carnival, much less have a carnival outside of the Whispering Woods.
Yeah.
So that's the dumbest idea I've ever heard one of the writers for this series come up with. It's absolutely retarded. Number two, apparently this is a writer that came on and decided to write an episode with no knowledge whatsoever of anything that had happened before or what these characters are or anything. Because why in the hell would Madame Raz all of a sudden have a magic mirror that we've never fucking seen before?
Yeah.
And the magic mirror was an ass. He literally calls Madame Raz the ugliest.
Yeah.
She's like, who's the fairest of the all, or of them all, because that's not original or anything. And the magic mirror says, more like the ugliest. Like, really? That's kind of weird. Okay. Hordak apparently forgot where they were. Then, because he's like, oh, where did they go? You know, where did my spy bots go? And then he's told where they're at, right? He's told, Shadow Weaver explains to him where they've gone.
Right.
Immediately after that, he has a line that says, Mantena, find out where they are. She just fucking told you where they were. And first off, let's back up that. Even if you are somewhat, you know, whatever, losing your mind in your old age, delirious, whatever you want to call it, dementia, suffering from something here, wait a second, though. You've lost track of your own spies? What good is having a spy in Horde Command if you don't even fucking remember they're there? Sword? I wish they would have said this. Instead of saying the line that she said, she should have said, Sword to giant fucking retarded magnet. That is dumb. And seeing it as a magnet larger than Swiftwind is retarded. And then I swear she also did a sword to battering ram, but it didn't sound like she said battering ram. I don't know what the fuck she called that, but it should have been a battering ram.
She said battering ram, but I don't know what the hell that really was.
But that was stupid. So, and that's not even talking about this asinine character, Prince Kevin. Everything in this episode, besides maybe seeing Flutterina, and I will say that there was like one cool moment where Madame Raz like went up a pole and it looked kind of like Looney Tunes / Hanna-Barbera, like, but other than that, I cannot think of one good thing to say about this retarded episode. And it starts with the writer who apparently didn't know anything about what was going on here, because why would you introduce a magic mirror? Why would they have a carnival? Why is Hordak losing his mind? And why is this episode in existence?
Okay, so we don't do this often, but we have done it in the past, because sometimes we just have to go through and look at what these certain people have done besides what we're talking about here. I've got Phil Harnage's IMDb up. He started, it doesn't say how many episodes, but he started writing 1972, Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids. He then did Fraidy Cat and A Bird in the Hand from He-Man and the Masters of the Universe in 84. He did this one episode in She-Ra. Thank God it was only one. After that, Hello Kitty's Fairy Tale Theater in 87. Alf Tales in 88. Legend of Zelda, he was a writer on two, Kiss and Tell and Cold Spells. Kiss and Tell, that was a good episode, so at least he has some good writing. He then wrote for a number of episodes of the Super Mario Brothers Super Show.
That explains even more. This guy's got a star-studded lineup here.
He wrote one episode, The New Kids Off the Wall, from the New Kids on the Block 1990 television series. Wrote two episodes of the SMB3 cartoon, Do the Koopa and Cootie Pie Rocks. Oh, he wrote the Milli Vanilli episode of Adventures of Mario 3. Oh, wow, that's funny. Wrote 10 episodes of Camp Candy. One episode of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures, which I guess was the animated version of the film. Mm-hmm. Wrote several episodes of New Super Mario World. Wrote the Where's Waldo 13 episodes and concept cartoon in 91. Throughout the rest of the 90s, 65, wow, he really writes, oh, he wrote all, according to this, all 65 episodes of Captain Planet and the Planeteers. That explains a lot. Double Dragon, that explains even more.
It's like the movie Double Dragon?
No, the cartoon.
I was gonna say.
There was a TV series.
Yeah, that's adaptation. Right. Wow, he's got the who's who of shitty cartoons that he's written for.
Crypto the Super Dog in 2006, which actually wasn't that bad of a cartoon. In more recent years, he wrote.
He's still being allowed to write?
2009 to 2010, so more recent as of like 5 or 6 or 7 years ago. Special Agent Oso. The most recent series he has is Popples.
Oh, for the Netflix. Uh-huh. That's not that good of a show either, to be honest. So I've seen a little bit of that, but that's terrible.
Oh, this is going to kill you. 2007, he wrote one episode of the Land Before Time TV series.
Yeah, that wasn't the good one, though. So, man, that's terrible all the way around. This guy's awful. And you can tell because he's bouncing around and writing one episode for this show, two episodes for that show. So he never has any type of interest or need.
Nationally in action, oh my God.
So he never really needs to know anything about a series. He just writes an episode and leaves. So I guess he could give two shits about the characters or what they're supposed to do. So the PSA for this one is about being responsible and doing what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, let's just...
Just take a break, and then let's come back and hit a whole bunch of people with hard bats.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, you can't dunk me. Yeah, you can't dunk me.
We'll see about that.
I told you so.
I command you to hit that. Right on the nose. No, not that animal. I meant Bo.
Haven't time to change to She-Ra. Madam's in trouble.
All right, we're back to hand out some hardware, but I don't think I'm going to allow anything but one type of hardware to be handed out for this episode. I don't know. Mike, do you got protection swords or horde bats? Be careful.
Only because he's funny, I have to give a protection sword to Mantana.
Okay.
There was as bad as the writing is, as bad as the rest of the episode is, Mantana was hilarious.
I'll allow it.
Essentially, this is another one. Horde bats for everybody. I mean, really, it just doesn't matter. I mean, except Mantana. Horde bats except everybody except Mantana, because everything is horrible in this episode.
Yeah, it's bad. I'm going to just highlight two and give them swift double receptions of horde bats or something. Horde bat to both sides of the neck so we make sure we break all the way through. One to Prince Kevin and one to the writer, Phil Harnage.
Did you say Princess Kevin?
It might as well have been. It was not even close to sounding like a guy. Prince Kevin and Phil Harnage, you both get a horde bet. This is an awful episode. What rating do you give this one?
One. The only reason why it gets a one is because of Mantana. And as I said before at the beginning, it's utterly forgettable.
And that's why it gets a zero for me. It doesn't exist.
Hey.
So,
there you go.
Zero Crystal Castles. Let's move on to the theme of today, episode 70, coming up next. We'll be right back.
you to fool with Shadow Weaver's messengers.
Well, if you hadn't tried to capture me, I would have been more friendly, you big metal lummox. This looks interesting.
Don't touch that. We just stole, we just borrowed it for Shadow Weaver.
Stolen, huh? Well, it'll be safer with me than with Shadow Weaver. I'll just keep it until its real owner appears.
Get him! Come on, get him!
Did you hear that?
I sure did. Sounds like my kind of party.
Well, we don't have an invitation, but let's drop in.
I better do something, and fast. Maybe one of those spells Candor taught me might work. Strangers who attack without a warning, take your place as trees till the morning. Well, what do you know? It worked! I always knew I was a great magician.
All right, next up today is episode 70, Something Old, Something New, air date, Saturday, October 11, 1986, written by Carol Baxter. Sorceress Apprentice Eli takes the Serenity Stone from Shadow Weaver's troopers and becomes very powerful and big-headed. He remains unaware that without the stone in its proper place, Etheria will become unbalanced. I don't know why the plot description says sorcerer. It's a specific sorcerer, but anyways. So we have Shadow Weaver is the only Horde member. Then we have She-Ra, Madame Raz, Bo, Cowl, and Broom. Then we have this apprentice Eli, his sorcerer mentor Candor, and then the keeper of the Serenity Stone. What did you think about this? Once again, child apprentice episode about some type of MacGuffin.
Can we just move on? Like, all the way, just skip everything.
Remember how good of a start I thought season two was off to?
Yeah, it's gone downhill from here.
It took a quick nosedive like it was trying to do an Olympic dive off of a...
Yeah.
Man, this is bad. The plot's bad. We've seen it before. There's nothing to talk about. Let's move on.
Episode 71, here we come.
Well, I didn't mean that. Let's move on to Whispering Woods and Fright Zone.
She's one of our best friends.
We'd better get out of here before Shadow Weaver comes looking for her troops. Or should I say trees?
Why don't you come with us to Whispering Woods? We're on our way there right now. Climb on.
Thanks.
Well, Madam should be here soon. You said you needed to meet her?
Yes, my teacher, Candor, sent me here. She's supposed to teach me, but I doubt she can teach me anything I don't already know.
Oh, I'm sure there's always something more we can learn.
That Eli thinks he's pretty smart.
Wait till he meets Madam. She'll teach him a thing or two. Hey, how about some lunch?
Please, allow me. Table appear with lots of food to put new friends in a happy mood.
A little lunch? This is unbelievable.
Well, thanks. Eat up.
Look out below!
I keep telling you, practice your landings. Practice your landings.
Madam Raz, I've come to meet you. Candor has sent me to you for my final lesson. But since I already know all I need to, I'm not sure what you could teach me.
I hope he sets aside a little time to work on his bad manners.
All right, before we can tie a bow on episode 70, let's at least see if there's anything worthy of mentioning in the Whispering Woods. I have two things. The tree troopers, I thought looked cool when he turns the troopers into trees. And actually, I liked the voice on Eli. It is a younger kid, apprentice type character, but for once they actually let a guy do the voice. And that's what you should do if you don't have female voice actors that have a strong repertoire of being able to do little boys' voices. You should just let the gentleman with the highest voice do it, because it worked out here. I like the voice of Eli, but that's all I can say for Whispering Woods. What about you?
Let's just go straight to the Fright Zone. I don't even have a lot of... Again, two episodes today so far. One is forgettable. This one is less than forgettable. I mean, this one might as well have not even existed for me.
Yeah, as far as Fright Zone goes for me, a little heavy-handed with the ego on this kid. Like, yeah. I get that he has an ego, but you don't need to bash us over the head with it like 300 times in the first 10 minutes. The stone... the Keeper of the Serenity Stone. Okay, first of all, he's depicted as if he's some type of mysterious, super powerful, like, you know, figure that we should...
At first, I thought it was Light Hope.
Yeah, it's almost like a Light Hope type character that's supposed to be, you know, almost with this mysterious yet epic presence. And his line is that Etheria will go spinning off to who knows where. What? That's some great wisdom this guy has. Like, let's not trust this guy. He doesn't even know for sure what's going to happen.
Maybe he needs a matrix of leadership.
And She-Ra is given the line, don't count your stones before they hatch.
What?
What the fuck is that supposed to mean? The line is, don't count your eggs before they hatch, She-Ra. Stones don't hatch. What is that?
I don't blame her, though, for saying
it. No, I know. I'll get to who is that to blame, but who wrote that line? Like, that's retarded. And then the PSA is about humility and not bragging about your skills if you got them.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take another break, and let's award some more Horde Bats, because that's the type of episode we're doing today.
Pretty much, yeah.
And this is where we do our wash.
Madam, when am I going to get my final lesson?
Well, just a minute. Oh, Adora, would you take over for a few minutes? I'm going to help them bring up some water from the river.
I see Madam is showing you around. How do you like it so far?
Well, it's a nice camp, but I'm really interested in going home so I can be the magician of my own village.
Well, I'm sure Kandor wants you to learn all you can first before taking on such a big responsibility.
Learn? I can handle anything right now. Just ask Madam. Madam?
Buckets of water at the river fill. Bring them to clean the clothes on the wheel. Or was it Hill? Stop! Ah! Ah! Buckets full of water! Stop! Oh, sorry, boy. What was the rest of the spell?
Buckets full of water, stop. And to the ground now, gently drop.
You know, after I said it, I knew it should have been Hill, not Wheel.
That was thoughtful of you to try to bring the water from the river, Madam.
I have a great idea. I can bring the river here, and then Madam could take a rest.
Ah! I don't need a rest. Just because your magic is newer, that doesn't mean it's better. What do you mean, bring the river here?
Just cast a spell to change its course.
Eli, we appreciate you trying to help, but there's always a danger when you change Mother Nature.
All right, back at it again to hand out some Horde Bats. What do you have, sir? Who gets a Horde Bat? Who gets a Horde Bat?
Horde Bats for everybody. It's just easier that way, and I know I know it's a cop-out, but...
At least you know that.
I mean, I know it's a cop-out, but I don't care. It's just so... See, I can't even give one to... I mean, I know I said Horde Bats to everybody, but I mean, really, it's the writing. It really is the writing. And I even tried looking up Carol Baxter, and there's, like, one that shows up as an actress, but the rest show up as Carolyn or Caroline, and I couldn't find the right one to even see what else she did. So apparently, she didn't do much else other than this, because whatever. But it's just one of those things where it's like, this is episode 70 of the Powers of Grayskull series. This should not be this antiquated bullshit cartoons. I mean, like, we knew going into this whole series for the past 4.5-5 years, we knew that there were going to be bad He-Man and She-Ra episodes from Filmation. somebody had told me they were this bad, I don't think we would have made it this far.
It's definitely not a high point in the series, and I will agree with that. I'll just give Carol Baxter specifically one. I'm going to blame her for the dialogue. I don't know if she was the one specifically responsible for it, but she's the writer, so I will say that she wrote the dialogue, and she's an idiot.
Yeah.
So that's all I have to hand out. For Crystal Castles, what do you give it?
Zero.
All right, and I will give it a one, so we're just going to flip-flop. I don't think it's non-existent and it's bad dialogue, whatever, but it didn't piss me off like the other episode did as much. So it gets just slightly higher. I'll give this one a one. The last one is zero. You will flip-flop. So either way, these are two bad episodes.
Yeah, very, very bad. Like I said before, the first one was forgettable. This one is less than forgettable.
Let's see if we can end on a slightly higher note as we go visit our friend Lookie in episode 71 next.
Yet another of those pesky conceals.
Good. Before too long, we will have the last of them captured.
Oh, right. Then we won't be troubled by their annoying habit of sneaking into the dungeons, bringing fresh fruit to the prisoners. A serious crime. Ah, the last of the conceals are about to be captured.
We have to get away, Lassie. We're the last of our kind on Beast Island. If we are captured, we will not be able to free the rest of our people.
But how are we going to get away, Poppy?
Leave that to me.
The Conceals are trapped, Shadow Weaver. Signal the Terror Terriers to capture them.
All right. Get ready. Get set. Go!
That's a pair of those robots. Your plan worked perfectly, Poppy. What's the next step in your plan?
We have to get to the Whispering Woods. My son Lookie lives there. We'll need his help. But first, we have to get out of here. Then I'll help you.
Those Terror Terriers you destroyed are expensive, you multicolored maggot!
All right, we end today on episode 71, Lookie's Sweetie, air date of somewhere around Friday, Saturday, September 12th, 1986. This is where it gets funky because it might be 87. It might not have aired in production order, so just go with it. Writer is Bob Forward. Catra is capturing all the concierges on Beast Island because they have been aiding the Horde's prisoners. Only Lassie, I'm going to call her Lassie, escapes to find Lookie in the Whispering Woods. She-Ra and Swiftwind, who are enjoying a relaxing evening, decide to help free the, I guess they're called Conceals. I don't know what the fuck they're called, but that's their race.
The way I look at it now that I see it actually spelled out, it's Conceals.
Yeah, but it sounded like so they said like...
Basically because they conceal themselves.
Ah, that makes sense. It sounded something weird. It was almost like they were saying Concierge or something.
I don't know what the hell they were calling them in... The episode.
What?
And it's frigging Catra, so you can't understand half the shit she says anyway. So
we have Catra, Shadow Weaver, we have She-Ra, Lookie, Swiftwind, and then we have some various Conceals characters, as well as Mr. Slime Pig. So what did you think about this Conceal episode?
Well, first of all, you know, I wasn't sure when it was going to come in. I thought it would have come in way back when we were on Eternia, but hey, the debut of the Slime Bit.
And the Slime Pig.
No, Slime Pit.
And the Slime Pig.
Pit first, then pig.
I'm just saying, we got a Slime Pit and a Slime Pig.
Yeah. It's Orson from the Garfield show.
Oh, I wish it would have been.
This is by far the best episode of the day, honestly.
And he's looking at it, folks.
And I know that's the thing. I know I'm jumping ahead here, but the this episode was better than any right that it had to be. I mean,
it's because you just watched those other two episodes. It made it seem real good.
And see, again, it goes back to, and I know we've been saying this for so long at this point, that we don't remember because we don't remember a lot of this stuff because we haven't watched it in so long.
And because you have a bad memory.
Well, that's beside the point now. Anyway, it's one of those things where I remember Lukey being that thing at the end for the PSA. That's all I really remember him ever doing. I didn't really remember him having at least two episodes to this point. And honestly, his two episodes are probably better than half of the stupid horde plots that we've had in the last 10 podcasts.
Yeah. I mean, this episode made the other one... I mean, the other ones made this episode look like an Emmy award-winning episode. Yeah. I like seeing more of these characters. They're kind of cool. They could have had their own little spin-off series. It's almost like the Popples. You mentioned them before. These brightly colored balls of things that just blend into the whatever. So, you know, I could have seen a Conceals miniseries going on here, a cartoon miniseries. Give them three episodes. Give them a Christmas special.
You know what we could have had? The Conceals versus Mad Balls.
Yes, that could have happened. So, and then, you know, we could have also had a Slime Pig miniseries. So
No.
Let's make our way to the Whispering Woods to see exactly why this one ends up being a little bit better than those previous two episodes.
What other one?
Oh, I must say, Spirit, it's nice to get away by ourselves once in a while.
Yes, Adora. The Rebellion keeps us very busy.
I know. Sometimes we just have to relax. What happened to my thermo frame? Oh, no. Look who's sneaking a thermo frame.
It's Lookie.
So I see. Have a thermo frame, Lookie?
No, thanks. I already have one.
Alrighty, we find ourselves for the last time in the Whispering Woods today. And I actually have some items, so I'm excited. I like the look of Beast Island. I don't know how many times or if we've ever seen it, but I like the cool-looking bone castle structure.
To my knowledge, it's only been... It's been a few times, obviously, in the pilot when they had to go and He-Man destroyed the prison where the tractor beam was, the magnet beam or whatever. Yeah, so it was in the pilot. And it's been a long time since we ever went back to it, though. So, yeah, I agree. I like it as well.
I like the Conceals, even though I couldn't tell what the fuck their name was. I just like the idea that there's a race of Lookies and that they all kind of are like these little sneaky guys that hide and help the poor and whatnot and the prisoners. I also like that they call them multicolored maggot.
Yeah.
As an insult, I thought that was funny. And I didn't realize that there was transporters in Etheria, but they literally used some Star Trek almost picture-perfect transporters at one point for Catra. So that was interesting. And I actually, regardless of if you like or dislike the slime pig, I thought it was a cool voice that they used for him. And Linda Geary, I think, did a good job differentiating her other voices with what she used for the pig. And I wish she would have done more stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't dislike him, but at the same time, the more exciting part of this episode wasn't that there was a slime pig in the slime pit, but that we actually see the slime pit in the cartoon series, because we all knew that the slime pit was a playset from way back when and everything else, and everybody had it, and I think at one point when I was a kid, I actually put Slimer in the slime pit, so... Ghostbusters He-Man crossover, there you go.
Right. What about you? Anything else that you liked about this episode?
Yeah, until I heard it at the very end, I didn't know what the hell her name was, so I just kept saying, "Here, Lassie, Lassie, Lukey's in the well. Go save him."
Right, basically. As for Fright Zone moments, it's just a couple odd things in this episode. I'm not quite sure what Bob Forward was doing with this or if somebody else put it in there, but why is she eating a hot dog with mustard? That was just weird to me. And I mean, I guess it was an idea because you wanted to see that Lucky stole it and kind of set that plot line up. But it just seemed weird that she was eating a hot dog and squirting mustard on it. So Lassie, that's such a fucking weird name, is like calling for help while She-Ra and Swiftwind Lucky are all, you know, at the campfire or whatever. They just literally leave their fire unattended and go see whatever the heck's happening.
Be sure you put out forest fires, too.
Thank you.
Brought to you by Smokey the Bear.
There's also an animation flub or just a plotline flub or something, because there's a shot of Catra after she gets transported back onto the... She crashes in her little ship.
Right.
They transport her into the bigger ship. She is literally has an entire scene where she is seen phoning Beast Island to warn them that She-Ra is headed there. We then move to a shot of She-Ra arriving at Beast Island, and Catra is already there.
Yeah, that was a
She's not tough. Supposed to be there. They were supposed to get stuff, because there's later even a line that says, you know, did you get everything ready like I told you to, you know, on my way? She's supposed to arrive after that, but there's one scene where she's shown already on the, like, the lookout little stand.
Right.
Okay, so the slime pit is supposed to weaken you, and you're supposed to stick to it, and you're supposed to not really have the power to move, from what I can tell.
Right.
And they can't move their legs to get out of it.
Right.
Yet they can move their hands, whatever the fuck they want to do with them.
But their hands weren't stuck in the slime. Weren't they just only waist deep?
So it's only the parts that are actually touching the slime?
I
guess that could make sense, because at one point she's like literally like shaking her hands up and down, and Lassie is, and I thought she even like punched the, like not punched, but kind of like hit her hands into the slime, and I'm like, if you have enough energy to do that, can't you move your legs? I was confused on that. And why is there a pig there?
Yeah.
There's no other animals in this world outside of, I mean, because a unicorn's not a real, I mean, it's resembling a horse, but there's really, I guess there's been some like wolves and stuff. It just seemed weird to see, like, a farm animal in Etheria. Like, just a pig in the slime. And then, of course, we get the classic, I'm gonna mess with nature and turn this ground into a dirt rug that rolls up like a fucking ho-ho.
Thank you. See, I thought there was gonna be something there. I thought there was gonna be grass or something, but she was just gonna, like... Because her line is... Oh, it's time to pull the rug out from under them. So I just figured she was going to pull a He-Man thing where she just pulls something and it sends them flying. But no, it was the rug roll-up, and it's like ground rug. I'm like, oh, God, come on now. The one I had was, as much as I like this episode, as much as I don't mind Lassie, Lucy, Lucy, whatever the hell her name is, why the hell did they have to use Dree-El's voice for?
Yeah, that's true.
Like, don't get me wrong, I love the voice acting, and I think, isn't that Linda?
Yes, it is.
So I love Linda Garry, and I love her voices, but they could have had her come up with a different voice than getting basically Dree-El's voice there, because that just takes away from both characters, in my personal opinion.
Yeah.
The other thing was, when they get to Beast Island, they are starting to sneak around, so they're not getting caught, because there are horde troopers everywhere. There are horde troopers mounted on freeze cannons. There's horde troopers patrolling. And then they reach the secret entrance, and willy-nilly, She-Ra just picks up the giant boulder and throws it to Timbuktu. Are you kidding me? Seriously? These horde troopers or these robots are that fucking stupid that they would not hear a boulder crashing 5 miles away from their fucking position, and they wouldn't have already caught them? Come on now.
So you didn't like that?
You know, that was stupid.
Yeah, and the PSA was about stealing and being wrong. Because Lukey apparently is a thief, which I didn't realize before, because he's stealing all kinds of stuff. So yeah, that's wrong. And I guess it's a decent PSA for kids, but I don't know, it's a PSA. That's all I got. So let's take a quick break, come back one more time. One last chance to see if I will hand out any protection swords today.
G-Run! her friends will be in a rather sticky situation.
One last chance to hand out hardware. Start with you, Mike. Do you have any horde bats or protection swords for this one?
I'm going to give a horde bat to She-Ra for the rug roll-up. It's just stupid. And her boulder skills, that's, again, that would have... Yeah, so technically two protection swords to She-Ra, or not two horde bats to She-Ra. My allergies are killing me, folks, so I'm kind of losing it at this point. Plus, the episodes overall, 2 out of 3 is very, very bad. Protection swords, I'll give 1 to Luki and 1 to Lassie.
Oh, man. It happened, folks. It happened.
I know, right?
He gave a protection sword to Luki. I will give a protection sword to the slime pig because I don't know why he's there, but damn it, I liked listening to him talk. So that's it. Nobody pissed me off compared to the last two episodes.
Yeah.
Episode rating for you, sir?
4.
4, all the way up to 4.
Yeah.
The effect of watching a 0 and a 1 beforehand, I think. I'm not quite as high on it. It didn't piss me off. There was some stupid things to it, so it's not going to get a great score for me, but I'll give it a 3 as being leagues better than the final, the previous two episodes.
Yeah.
So, by far, the best episode of episode 70 today. So, let's take a quick break and see if we want to continue doing this.
No, not really.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or geekcastradio.com.
TFG and Mike here from the GeekCast Radio Network, and today, folks, I want to talk to you about Morton's PC Repair and Service. Does your PC feel like it's a piece of dead or dying garage equipment? If you're in around the Louisville, Kentucky area and your PC needs help, call Morton's PC Repair and Service. They have the lowest prices in town, payment plans available, fast, reliable service with custom builds, virus removal, reformats, upgrades, and just about anything else your PC needs. You can reach them at 502-294-3359 or find them on Facebook. As someone who recently partook of their services, I can safely say they are the best in the PC repair business. So check out Morton's PC Repair and Service.
It's Showtime Synergy. The latest review podcast from the GeekCast Radio Network is here. So join TFG1 Mike, Nicole Hailstorm, and myself, Lady Rec, as we will be reviewing all 65 episodes of Joe and the Holograms in a 25-episode-long podcast. You can find Showtime Synergy on iTunes and GeekCastRadio.com. We are the truly outrageous podcast that you want to be listening to.
All right, folks, we're back here on the Myths of Etheria, episode 70. That's going to do it for us. Any final thoughts before we get the flock out of here.
Man, as pumped up as I was after the first episode of season two, we had three episodes that I really, really enjoyed. I was really stoked. We got to see, you know, Flutterina and Peekaboo and Perfuma and Trafta and this, that, and the other. I was really high, and I don't know if it's possible to go this much of an extreme in the opposite direction. This is awful. We need to get right back to what we were doing in episode 69 and get far away from episode 70. So it better get right back to how season two started and not immediately three episodes into season two where they're already doing shit, recycled bullshit, plot, cartoon, yep, fucking nonsense.
Yeah, I can agree to that. Thank you for joining us here on Myths of Etheria. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do this. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on this and all of our other episode posts. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Email us, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter, @geekcastradio is the network Twitter. You can also follow @powofgrayskull for the show Twitter. Mine is TFGO and Mike. What is your Twitter?
Optimus Solo.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradionetwork. We hope you enjoyed the myths today, and don't forget to join us in our next adventure when we will take a look at the next three episodes of Season 2, The Pearl, Starscream starring in The Time Transformer, and Above It All. For now, I am TFGO and Mike with
Optimus Solo.
By the power and for the honor of Grayskull, you all have the power.
Bye now, see you next time! Oh,